The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen. I've got an announcement to make. Your baptism is of no use at all. Oh, that got a few looks. Your baptism is of no use at all if Christ has not been raised. Paul basically says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ has been raised physically, bodily, glorified from the tomb in which he was laid on that first Good Friday. The body that suffered so, the body that experienced so much torment, so much agony, the body that was beaten, bruised, pierced through with thorns and the lash of a whip, and with the nails of the cross, and with the spear that was thrust into his side. This poor, dilapidated wreck of a body has been raised, and your faith in him is not futile. Your baptism is not in vain, because in God's mercy and God's grace, you and I, sinners though we are, dead though we were in trespass and sins, have been brought out of the grave of our unbelief and have been united to Christ, the living one, Christ, the resurrected one, Christ, the one who is going to restore all things, the one who will make creation new again according to the promise of his word. Now, do not be mistaken about the false idea, and that's what it is, that people believed that Christ had been raised again because they were naive, they believed mythologies, they did not have our scientific understanding of the universe. That is so very wrong. In fact, in the ancient world, particularly the Hellenistic, the Greek world, and the Roman world, the body was viewed as unimportant. What counted were the ideal things, the spiritual things. The body, once you were done with it, once it was buried, was of no use to you at all. What counted was the soul, the spirit. That was supposedly the real part of you. But the Bible speaks contrary to that. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that fills them. God created this physical stuff around us, this material stuff that is so much a part of our lives. He created the wood from which this pulpit and this crucifix was made. He created the materials of the clothing you now wear. He He created plants with the ability to reproduce and provide you with food. He created the cattle of the field, the pigs, the chickens, the turkeys. Everything that you enjoy, everything that sustains your body in this world, God created it and God pronounced it good. What's more, God created the human body. We read in Genesis, we heard it last night at the Easter Vigil, how God formed man, the first man, Adam, out of the dust of the ground and breathed his spirit into him. And Adam became a living creature. And then, because it was not good for the man to be alone, God took a rib out of the side of Adam and fashioned it into a woman, a bride for Adam, Eve. You know the story. The story is true. God loves material stuff. Abraham Lincoln said, God must love the poor because he made so many of them. Well, God must love physical things. The earth, the trees, the water, the sky, your very bodies, because God made so much physical stuff. But then Adam and Eve disobeyed God's commandment. They ate of the fruit of the forbidden tree. They sinned. Their sin estranged them from God. God had said to Adam, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And death came into the world through the sin of the one man, Adam. For as in Adam, all die. All die. Here's the proof biblically that you are a sinner. You're going to die. Here's the proof biblically that your loved ones who have died were sinners. They have died. Here's the proof close at hand that you are a sinner. Look in the mirror. Do you look like you did 20 years ago? If you're old, do you look like you did 50 years ago? Do you have wrinkles and sags and bags where once before there was skin that was taut, skin that was fresh? Skin that was pearly and perfect? Have you ever experienced a broken bone? Do you have a bad back? Do you have arthritis? Do you have high blood pressure? Do you have diabetes? Do you have cardiopulmonary disease? Do you have cancer? Or will you be diagnosed with cancer? There is the existential, experiential truth that you and I are sinners, that we are going to die, and that this old creation that we now inhabit is itself going to fade away and perish one day. But here is the good news. Here is the wonderful news that we as Christians celebrate, not merely this Easter Sunday, but every Sunday of the year. Every time we get together, we don't get together to worship some dead guy who is buried in some unknown tomb and whose flesh rotted and whose bones decomposed, and that was the end of him. Again, if that's all it was, your baptism is useless, your faith is useless, your being here is useless. There is no point to it. Paul was willing to face up to that fact. But again, the testimony of Scripture is that Christ has been raised. Christ appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Christ appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Christ appeared to the 11 in the upper room. He appeared to James. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to Paul. He appeared to 500 witnesses at once who were alive when Paul wrote these words. Christ is risen indeed. And he has risen as the first fruits of the new creation. The old creation is all around us. The old decaying, sinful creation destined to perish one day. Have you ever seen an automobile accident? Have you ever seen a corpse? What a silly question that is. Have you ever seen someone waste away from cancer? Have you ever been in an automobile accident? Have you ever broken a limb? Is your hair falling out? There's evidence of the old creation we inhabit. God's good original creation was pronounced to be very good, but it was ruined. It was toppled. It was destroyed through God's judgment upon the sin of Adam. Let's illustrate this. I need some good, strong men who are willing to help me on this. If you're a good, stout-hearted man and can help with move something, raise your hand. We have a few raising their hands. Okay, guys, go up into the organ loft. Pick up that organ and shove it over the rail so it hits the floor there in the middle aisle. What's going to happen to that organ? It's going to be destroyed, ruined. And there you have a picture of what sin and death have done to God's creation. But Christ is the second Adam. Christ came in the flesh to undo that wreckage, to make things right again. Christ came to undo all the damage, all the destruction that Adam wrought by his sin. Christ came to undo the death. Christ came to negate God's judgment by taking God's judgment upon himself on the cross. Christ is the second Adam, and he ushers in the new creation by his death on the cross and by his resurrection on the third day. Christ is the first fruits to appear of the new creation. You know, if you have an apple tree or a pear tree, there's always one fruit that gets ripe first. And you pick that fruit and you enjoy it. And you know that there is more fruit to follow. Well, we are the second fruits. We are the one who will follow in the train of Christ. We will be raised in our bodies as he has been raised again. David, Johnny will be raised and made new. He will not have that brain tumor. He will not be suffering from that stroke. He will be made whole again in Christ. And Annie Lee, the same is true for your mother. She is going to be raised up again. Even now, she is with the Lord, enjoying his presence, the presence of the triune God and all the saints. But her body that was laid to rest is going to come out of that tomb, going to come out of that grave, glorified just as Christ was glorified. And Becky, the same is true for your mother. Death cannot hold us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Death has no claim upon us. We are a new creation in Christ. And you know where that took place for you? There at the baptismal font. You were born into the old creation of sin and death when you were conceived in your mother's womb and were born into this world. But there is where you were born again of water and the Spirit. There is where you were made a part of the new creation, the creation that has been promised to us, that God already sees, but that we are waiting for. And what keeps our faith alive as we wait? What keeps our faith alive as we sometimes stumble through this broken, fallen, painful, sorrowful, dying world? It's not something you can do on your own. You did not create your faith. The Catechism says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. He has enlightened me with his gifts. He has sanctified me, makes me God's holy possession, and he keeps me with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You cannot go back to the cross in Jerusalem. That cross rotted away long ago. You can go to one of the tombs in Jerusalem that is commonly supposed to be Jesus' tomb, his burial place, but you won't find him there. He has been raised again. You can meditate in your heart in the words of a hymn I grew up with. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. All my joy imparts. You ask me how I know he lives, he lives within my heart. A Christ that lives in my heart is no good to me at all. I need a physical Christ. I need a Christ who suffered and died. I need a Christ who was raised bodily from the tomb. I need a Christ who washes me in his blood through the water and word of holy baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I need a Christ who is present to me in the proclamation of his gospel. I need a Christ who forgives me of all my sin in the pastor's absolution. I need a physical, bodily Christ who can give me his body, his blood to eat and drink in the sacrament for the forgiveness of my sins. Because it is the forgiveness of sins that comes only through the gospel that takes me to heaven, that makes me one of God's people. And it is these means of grace and these means of grace alone that strengthen and preserve my faith in Christ. So you, dear friends, are a new creation in Christ. For all who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away, the old order of sin and death and condemnation. Behold, the new has come, for God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we, you and me, might become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is why we gather as the church. This is why we celebrate, not to remember some dead Jew whose words are preserved for us in this book. Yeah, he was a Jew. Yeah, he did die. But that's not the end. He is risen. And whenever you hear his gospel proclaimed, you are jumping with both feet into that new creation that Christ brings to pass. Whenever you have your sins absolved, whenever you make the sign of the Holy Cross upon hearing the name in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are sprinkled again in the baptismal water by which you were united to Christ. And when you come to the sacrament of the altar, there the new creation is, the new creation of which you are a part, a reminder of the great wedding feast of the Lamb to come, because there is a new creation, and there is where you need to be, not once a year, not once a month, but as often as you can be here. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because Christ is risen, alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.